This is Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, Racial Justice Editor at Yes Media. You can find this program at Yes Magazine, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. A federal court has just struck down a key aspect of the Voting Rights Act. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals last week, in a 2-1 decision, ruled that a lower court decision would prevail, which prevented private citizens and organizations from using Section 2 of the VRA to sue against racial discrimination in voting rights. Only the U.S. Attorney General could bring such legal challenges. According to the Washington Post, in the past 40 years, at least 182 successful Section 2 cases have been filed, and of those, only 15 were brought solely by the Attorney General. The devastating ruling is only the latest attack on the seminal 1965 law that legally enshrined people's right to vote. We turn now to Reverend Dr. Stephanie Rose Spaulding. She's an activist, pastor, professor, and founder of Truth and Conciliation and a member of Just Democracy. She is a sought-after speaker and the author of Recovering from Racism, a guidebook to beginning conversations, as well as Abolishing White Masculinity from Mark Twain to Hip-Hop, Crisis in Whiteness. Welcome to the program, Stephanie Rose Spaulding.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we've seen attacks on the Voting Rights Act from the highest levels in the past, which is the U.S. Supreme Court with its right-wing majority. Can you explain what this particular ruling actually does, how it further weakens the Voting Rights Act, and why it concerns you deeply?
Well, essentially, it takes power away from private citizens, from individuals like you and me, or organizations that have experienced the injustices of very partisan politics, right? And it denies our ability to even advocate for ourselves through the judicial system without it being tied to a partisan agenda in the way that it is now moving forward. And so our hope lies in a just Supreme Court that will acknowledge how much the system is being eroded as it relates to democracy.
So specifically on what the ruling has done as of now, individuals or say institutions or organizations like, you know, maybe the ACLU or the NAACP are not Correct. Allowed to bring challenges even when they see states or attorneys general at the state level carrying out discriminatory practices in violation of the Voting Rights Act. Is that accurate?
That is correct. We are in a position, if this goes forward and becomes the law of the land, that we're in a position where only the U.S. attorney can bring these courts cases to court.
So the U.S. attorney general is an appointed person, and it all depends on how they where their allegiances lie. We know, of course, an attorney general under a President Donald Trump would be extremely different from one, say, under a President Barack Obama or Joe Biden. And on top of that, you have one office for all 50 states. So it's not going to be necessarily a comprehensive, or one might imagine only the most egregious violations might make it to the top. So this ruling is expected to be appealed to the Supreme Court, but that in and of itself is an institution right now where we have a conservative majority that does not mm-hmm. seem friendly to voting rights. Are you concerned?
I'm extremely concerned. The courts themselves have become more and more partisan, unlike the original intent of the justice system. There was a reason why checks and balances were in place as it relates to the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. And at this point, it is no longer a space where we get justices or a Supreme Court that is truly analyzing the intent of the law with the best interest of American democracy at heart. it has become an extended arm of the political party in power, unfortunately, and that does no justice to democracy. So you're absolutely right. If we are in an extreme regime, I want to say, because it's no longer democracy, if we're in an extreme position where the political party that is in power, their agenda is going to be advanced through the judicial system, it leaves the opportunity to be taken advantage of. And so I am extremely alarmed. Justice groups across the country are extremely alarmed, and individual citizens should be extremely alarmed about where our country is going as it relates to an erosion of democracy.
It seems as though, given the congressional gridlock, we think that it's the Supreme Court or lower courts that set laws, but of course it's not. It's supposed to be Congress. And indeed, the Voting Rights Act itself was an act of Congress with presidential approval. The Voting Rights Act, and rather than relying on the Supreme Court to legislate it, ought to really be the purview of Congress, right?
Correct. You're absolutely correct. And again, this is what happens when we don't pay attention to the details, right? When individuals are only concerned about, well, who became the president of the United States? Every election matters, and the agenda of every political party matters. And right now we have seen, unfortunately, a Republican Party that has just gone off the rails. They are so far from who they even profess themselves to be. They are so far from themselves that democracy doesn't even matter, that the will of the people don't even matter. If we were to ask, and we have been asking, the average individual, the average citizen, how they understand, they are beyond confused, and they are infuriated that their voice in democracy is being silenced.
So this particular ruling by the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeal seems as though would have only been, is possible or has been possible because Joe Biden's predecessor, Donald Trump, was able to appoint so many federal judges to the bench, right? Yes. The Republican Party has seen that as a critical part of their agenda, not just stacking the Supreme Court, but all levels of the federal judiciary. And I guess that's bearing fruit now?
It's absolutely bearing fruit. But it started, again, under the presidency of Barack Obama with blocking of Supreme Court justices. And it continued under the presidency of Donald Trump, where the Republican Party pushed forward and allowed for just the overhauling of the court system, which is one reason why you have groups out here who are talking about expanding the court. It's really a rebalancing of the courts. And we've seen this for too long. And if we are not cognizant of what it means in this next election, who is at the helm, it's not about personalities. It's not about a particular person. It is really, do we want to live in a truly democratic society? Because if we allow this kind of practice to continue as it relates to the judiciary, we do not have a system where there are checks and balances. We do not have a system where our ways to redress grievances actually occur. And so, yes, we should have been paying attention during the Trump administration. We definitely need to be paying attention now if you have not been.
So for 40 years since the Voting Rights Act was passed in 1965, individuals and organizations have been able to bring legal challenges, many of which have been successful because, of course, the federal law of enshrining people's right to vote is a law. If it is seen in violation, any individual ought to be allowed to challenge the application of that law. Now, restricting it to the U.S. Attorney General only seems to really violate the spirit of the Voting Rights Act. So looking at the political reason why the GOP in particular has pushed through this, because it's Republican-leaning judges and courts that are eroding the Voting Rights Act, it seems as though they fear that they can't win office unless they curtail democracy. I mean, it's basically an attempt to insinuate and establish conservative minority rule.
Absolutely. We've seen it most recently with cases around gerrymandering. And so because elections are not always won off of a popular vote or based off of the communities that live in a district, we've seen states that have gerrymandered communities out of having representative legislators who look like them, who are of their communities. And they were able to redress that harm through the court system. So this is another way to ensure and enshrine that you have minority rule, even in majority districts that don't look like, you know, look like the people that should be represented. It's another way of grabbing control and power when you recognize that you really don't authentically have that that vote. You don't really have the voice of the people that back you up, but you have manipulated the system in your favor.
And so hand in hand with gerrymandering and the legal buttressing of gerrymandered districts, you have this weakening of the Voting Rights Act. You have individual states' attorneys general ensuring that in Republican-led states, at least, that the vote that, you know, under the guise of so-called voter fraud, they're pushing through voter ID, or have pushed through for years, so-called voter ID acts. So we're seeing this curtailing of the right to vote. And it seems at least between now and next fall, when we have another seminal election, the only solution, if you will, to what we're seeing, to this takeover, this attack on democracy, is an overwhelming numbers game, turning out in numbers so large that it undermines the cheating, or it tries to compensate for the various ways in which democracy is being cheated. Would you say that that's our only recourse right now?
It is our greatest recourse in the moment. And I hate to say it because it sounds so cliche, that this is the most important election of our democracy, because we will not have a democracy come 2025 if we don't get out and vote in such a way so that there is no contesting, no way to even slice it, that that the numbers are the numbers, right? So we really, and I am advocating for a Democratic win, because again, this Republican Party is so off the rails right now that it has no interest in true democracy.
I imagine that getting involved with pro-democracy groups, small d democracy groups, getting involved in get out the vote efforts is something that you are hoping to see more of between now and next November.
Absolutely. We need greater turnout in every voting block. So young people, veterans, elderly, women, people of color, we need greater turnout in every space. So we are encouraging people to register new voters. We are encouraging people to understand and pay attention to the voting laws in their district, in their states, because they are not equal across the board. We are encouraging people to bring folks to the polls with them that if you have never voted before, again, as I say, it is so cliche, but this is one of the most important elections of our democracy. And we are seeing it not just happen here in the United States, but we are seeing the fall of democracy happening around the globe. So now is the time to roll up your sleeves and really get out the vote, and not just be playing on the sidelines.
Are there any organizations that you recommend people check out?
There are so many. Black Voter Turnout Project, the NAACP, Just Democracy, the Urban League, Action Network. There are so many organizations that your church is doing this. Your synagogues are plugged into registering people to vote. National Panhellenic organizations, sororities and fraternities, college campuses, high schools. In some states, you can register to vote when you obtain your driver's license. So there are so many organizations that recognize the importance of this work that it is just too easy to find someone to get involved with.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Reverend Dr. Stephanie Rose Spaulding, for joining us and for shedding a light on this issue. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
My guest has been Stephanie Rose Spaulding, an activist, pastor, professor, and founder of Truth and Conciliation, and a member of Just Democracy. We've been talking about the latest attack on the Voting Rights Act. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, racial justice editor at Yes Media and host of Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Our audio podcast is on iTunes and Spotify.